Jason.
Yes?
We have got an exciting episode today, don't we?
We sure do.
We've got an interview with a great friend of ours. His name is Charlie Alcock. He has a lot of experience and background in youth ministry. He's currently a youth ministry professor at one of the largest youth ministry majors of any Christian institution in the United States, and it's going to be great to hear from him today.
Yeah, I got to be honest. One of the things that I don't like about Charlie is that he is a University of Michigan fan, and so I have respect for him in all other areas except for when he says Michigan every time he talks about Michigan.
And do you mind telling us why you don't respect that part of his?
Because he's a fan of the rival of my alma mater.
Which is?
Michigan State University.
Okay, there we go. A little plug.
Yeah, a little plug. And so that actually comes out in the interview because the interview was recorded a few months ago. And yet our last episode, we talked about the future and students and their insight on the future, whether they think it a positive thing, a negative thing. Are they hopeful or worried about it? And we also discussed this gap year and Christian education. So we thought this would be a great time to bring in his interview that we pre-recorded a number of months ago. And so you will hear it today.
We hope you enjoy. I'm Jeff Eckert.
I'm Jason Brewer. And this is The Thought Factory.
The Thought Factory podcast is brought to you by Never the Same, cultivating students through biblical discipleship and spiritual disciplines using theology, community, and technology. Learn more at neverthesame.org.
Well, I'm sitting here with a great friend of ours and mine. His name is Charlie Alcock. He is a youth ministry professor at Indiana Wesleyan University. Like I said, he's a dear friend. He is a huge advocate and expert for students and a very skilled and proficient youth leader, youth worker, been a youth pastor. He's been in youth ministry for 28 years. We're so grateful to have you with us today. And the first thing I want to say is talk to us for 30 seconds, if you can, about Michigan football.
We don't have to. We can cut
most
that out.
Most wins, greatest winning percentage, the best stadium. Those who stay will be champions. Go Blue. Bo Schembechler,
so then the
you.
Question I have is, how will it feel for you to come into second place this year?
What? There's a little banter because Jason is a Michigan State University grad.
Love the khakis. Go Harbaugh.
Michigan and Michigan State. Yeah, there's a little rivalry here, but
there's not much of a rivalry.
Put that aside.
Second place, Ohio State, because yeah. I've relinquished.
We'll put that aside.
This season already.
But while we've got you with us, Charlie, a couple of questions. And your experience, you've had, you know, over two decades, almost three, with students, and you're in the university environment where you're teaching and you're leading people going into youth ministry, and you're just in that environment where those that age is. Talk to us about a normal transition, or just the transition as a student from high school to post high school. Talk to us a little bit about that.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I think for me, it comes back to what happens normal and naturally for a person. I mean, when you're a little kid, it's all laid out for you. You're doing what your mom and dad tell you to do. You go to school. Everything's organized. You finished elementary. Then you go into middle school. That's designed for you. Then you go to high school and you have 4 years. Everything's laid out. And then all of a sudden, something crazy happens. You graduate high school and you have a decision to make. And what is that? Do you go to college? Is that expected? It's not that cut and dry anymore. There's a moment, there's a crisis moment where somebody at that point has to make their own decisions. And crisis is the key to becoming a person. My entire life, it was laid out. And you didn't question. You just processed through and you did what you were told. And then the decisions were yours. Along with the decisions came the responsibilities. And that's where I think it's that big transition. What do I do? I'm out of high school. Do I go to college? Do I not go to college? As a professor, going to college is not the determining factor whether or not that God will use you. I know many students who spent a year and transitioned out. I've got a niece who's on a year service with YWAM, trying to figure out where she's at, what her call is. And then she fully intends to go to school and kind of perfect her craft. but it's so laid out for us. And then comes that point where what's next? What now? And that's what I think is great opportunity. It's a great opportunity for somebody to take everything they've heard and make it their own. And that season is where we think that, oh, we've lost somebody. They're no longer with us. Not true. They've heard all of the things that we've taught. They've been around. It's actually a season for them to make it their own and allow all of those seeds that have been planted and all the water that's rained on them for all those years from their mom and dad and from pastors and people who love them for it to really begin to grow. And for it to grow, it's going to need some of that season of time. I love it when we think about God's word not returning void. We want to see instant results. We want to see exactly the moment where they graduate and move forward systematically as if they don't instantly become this amazing godly man or godly woman post high school, then we failed. Not true at all. Sometimes people transition really quickly and you see it. They get it. They explode. And it's like they're instantly amazing in who they are, in their faith, and in their craft. Some people need a minute to figure it out. And they kind of seem like they're floundering, but they're not. They're processing. And then we'll come back a couple years later and say, hey, look at this couple. Man, we didn't know what was going to happen to them after high school. Now they're these godly parents who have great kids and they're in our churches. And so I want to be a person who believes that God's word will not return void, even though we don't see it instantly all the time.
Yeah, it seems like in youth ministry sometimes or working with students as parents, we can maybe intentionally or unintentionally create this stress level for students like, oh, you need to know what you're going to do here. You're a senior. You're a junior. You know, having my own kids in the age group and you as mm-hmm. well. If you don't, by the time you're a junior, if you don't have your colleges laid out that you want to visit, you're behind schedule, it seems like, and that pressure. And I'm wondering, what are some specific ways you can think of to help them understand what you're saying, that this may be a several year process. In fact, maybe a 10-year, 20-year process even. But how do you relay that when you're working with students on a week-to-week basis to get them to understand, hey, it's going to take some time?
Can I tell you a quick story from my time at Skyline in San Diego? So I've got this student, and I'm really worried about her. It's like, does it seem like she's processing so much? So I go see her dad. And her mom and dad are super cool people. Her dad is actually a guitar maker. His name is Bob. Bob Taylor of Taylor Guitars. And so we're hanging out at a Starbucks in Rancho San Diego, and I'm asking him this question. And this is what he said to me. He said, Charlie, people will do 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 20 or 30 things in their life when they're trying to figure things out until they really discover what that 2 or 3 main things they want to do, and they'll do those the rest of their life. The key is not if you're hitting the 2 or 3 most important things when you're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, is that you stay active, is that you're constantly moving forward, that you don't become stagnant or lazy or disinterested. And so he told me, it's like, it doesn't maybe look like, you know, my daughter knows exactly what's happening next, but she's very active in what she's doing now. And so I would say, keep people active now and let that activity kind of reveal what's next. Because if they're active now and they're doing things, I think that main thing that God has called them to will reveal itself. I'll be honest, Jason. I mean, I came to college wanting to be a football coach. And so I was a PE major. Then I transitioned to a music major. And then I transitioned to a ministry major and graduated with a minor in PE and a major in music and ministry. And so, I had no idea what I wanted to do when I went to college. Did you ever change your major?
Oh, a few times. And even the majors that I changed to, I didn't graduate and go off and do those things. And yep. So, but I noticed that God never wasted the things that I was involved with. And so the majors, the activities, the leadership stuff that I was a part of, I see how he's used those in the ministry now.
Yeah.
And so I definitely can see the activity and the movement forward.
That's great. Trial and error.
Just keep active. I mean, just keep moving forward. Keep trying. I know we love football and we're messing around with football at the beginning, but it's like when you don't give up, even though the first play and the second play doesn't work for you, it's four quarters. And so you keep pressing. People who are active, they end up winning at the end because they are learning from those experiences, even if they're failures. I remember reading Choosing to Cheat by Andy Stanley, Choosing to Cheat, probably 12 years ago. And I think he said in that book, you might have 5, 6, 7 jobs before you finally figure out what is that one thing or that second thing that you're really, really gifted at and good at. But if you don't process those first couple jobs and are successful and active in those, you'll never discover that one, that main thing. And so it's important to try to continue to be active. And even if you fail, you're not failing.
That's great. Charlie, talk to us about what you would say to youth workers about adolescent development. They're working with students, junior high, high schoolers, teenagers. Talk to them about what students are going through, what they're thinking. Help them in that area.
This one's tough for me because it goes back to our first question that it's normal and natural when you get into middle school that you process. I'll ask students all the time, how many ladies in the classroom would love to go back and be in middle school again? And nobody wants to go back and be in middle school. All the ladies are like, no. They remember the hairstyles and they remember that phase that they just couldn't stand the way they looked. And then you think about high school and what was it like then? And the vast majority of guys I ask don't want to go back to high school. They love what they're doing now in college. They love the friends that they developed. And then I notice this with all of my friends who graduated, that once they graduate college, they're moving forward and they're rediscovering and they're becoming and they're growing. What's critical is that we never, in our growth, go back and project who we are now and what we're learning now back to that middle schooler, that high schooler, as if they don't need to experience for themselves the first time. I think it's critical in youth ministry that we remember who we're working with. We ourselves can continue to grow and experience new things. But at the same time, we need to remember who we're working with and where they are at. And sometimes it seems like we're simplifying ministry because we're going back and doing things that are old to us, that aren't fresh to us. But to that middle school kid, they're brand new. It's the first time they might have heard that song. It's the first time they might have understood that principle. It's the first time they might have experienced that feeling. And for you and me, I mean, we've done this over and over and over. And that's the beauty in working with students. We personally can continue to grow and develop the older we get and have these crazy, amazing experiences. I understand scripture at such a greater level now than I ever did. I've had chances in the last 10 years to go to Israel like you have, Jeff, and to see things I never saw. I just read about, but now I read them differently because I've walked in those very spaces and I know what it's like to stand on that hill where the feeding of the 5,000 was. So I can grow and develop, but at the same time, I have to go back and walk for the first time with those kids as if it was the first time for me. And I think that's the secret, that I can have joy in the simple little things with these students because for them, it is their first time.
And you used that analogy earlier when you and I were talking about when you're a youth worker, you are like a high school coach.
Yes.
And you're teaching the fundamentals.
Yep.
And when the next group of students comes in, you're still teaching the fundamentals because you've got a new class, a new group, and you're not, if you wanted to move on, you need to be a college or a pro coach, right?
I love that because I used to do this. I would project back on my kids what I was experiencing for the first time. I want to know the nuance of this language, and I'm learning and understanding more of the original context of what Jesus was doing through study and while I'm working on my graduate degree when I was at Hager School of Theology in L.A. And so I'm doing this, and then I would go back and try to blend that into a message with middle schoolers, and they would look at me like I've lost my mind, and it's like, why aren't they where I'm at, and why don't they really care about the depth of Scripture when actually they just needed to know that I loved them. And yes, I can go deep in my messages and content can be filled with biblical truth. But my job in that group was to coach them up, to get them to the next level and understand where they were at. And I love the coaching illustration. We have to be good middle school coaches and good high school coaches. And if we want to see them progress beyond that, we need to go with them beyond that. There's nothing wrong with us going back and helping that generation. All of a sudden, after a three-year stint in middle school, all the kids, or a four-year stint in high school, those kids that have come to a deeper level and we're so proud of them, they leave us. And we have to go back and reboot. I like the illustration that we don't rebuild a ministry. We just simply reload by constantly developing the kids who are coming up. And that should be the joy that we have in youth ministry, that we're helping develop this next generation so that they can grow deeper and become greater leaders and be able to handle more biblical truth and to worship at a deeper level. You know, the average male brain doesn't even develop fully until it's 24 years old, maybe 26. The average female brain, maybe 22 to 24. I mean, that's why, you know, ladies are smarter than us guys. I mean, they're just more mature quicker. And yet we're dealing with people who are going through the most ridiculous, intense time of their life. Think about how crazy it is to be in middle school and high school. And at that point, you're trying to make these massive decisions, these life-altering decisions at the most tumultuous time in a human's life. That's ministry to students. And that's why we love it. We need people who want to get in there, dive in there, and love them through those seasons and instill the biblical truth in ways that they can take it, in ways they can hear it. And that's by consistently loving them. They don't need to hear it one time. You and I, we can go hear a message. We can go hear a message and instantly apply it because we have all these years of growth. We're mature adult men. Adolescents, they need to hear over and over and over. It needs to be repeated, rehearsed, and reviewed till it becomes habit to them. And that's why it's so critical that youth ministry has people that will be filled with ministers who will do that to the next generation.
So Charlie, those of us in youth work, youth ministry, and as youth workers, we're standing between generations. We're talking and living in the adult world, we're also talking and living in the student world. And so question is, when, as a youth worker, when you're communicating, when you're around adults, what are ways that youth workers can be advocates on behalf of students?
I think that there's this idea, there's this principle, and I don't know where I heard it, but I wrote it down, that extraordinary acts of God, they start with everyday, ordinary acts of obedience. And I think for us as adults, we have to encourage our friends and other adults that by helping this generation be obedient consistently in the little things, we have to be able to see the cumulative effect of obedience every day, simple, and not just wait for the one or two major extraordinary acts. We love the extraordinary. When the extraordinary happens, we celebrate it. I mean, we talk about it. We advertise it. But the extraordinary are few and far between. Even if you look back in Scripture and the way Jesus worked with the disciples and all the people who followed him, it was the everyday, ordinary acts of obedience in the simple little things. Those were the things that mounted together, and that cumulative effect of the little things led to the extraordinary. We've got to be advocates with our friends and other adults to understand the season of life that those students are in and celebrate the little tiny victories. Now, this is going to be so random, right? So it was weird this summer that I had a chance to go back and read a book that I've not even looked at for years. and it was Machiavelli's book called The Prince. And it has nothing to do with the Bible at all. All right. But basically, it's this guy studying leadership. And there's one aspect that he brought to light, because normally people think it's about, you know, what kind of leader you are. But he brought this to light. A good leader, a good mentor will notice that people try, effort. And he said a good leader must celebrate the effort as much as the victory. And that is the open door or the highway to success. Those are my words. I'm translating what he said. But we got to celebrate the try and the effort as much as the victory, because there will be a large portion of effort before there ever is victory. And that is what they need to see in us. So as adult leaders, to other adult leaders, don't get infatuated with the big moment only. Learn to love the little wins and the little successes.
The Thought Factory podcast is brought to you by Never the Same, whose vision is to see new generations transformed in Christ to further the kingdom of God. Learn more at neverthesame.org.